You know, they only brought three charges against him to crucify. One, they said, this man loves sinners. The second, he healed on the Sabbath day. And the third, he claimed to be the Son of God. Did ever a man die like Jesus? They first took long leather thongs with steel pellets or lead pellets on the end and beat him across the back until he could hardly stand up. Then they put a crown of thorns on his brow and his face was bleeding. And he dragged and lifted and hauled that cross. And then, on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he dropped his head and said, it's finished. Yes, they laid him away in a tomb. And when they went out to the tomb that morning, they heard the greatest news the world has ever known. He is not here. He is risen. He's alive. He is not here. Death could not hold him. He has conquered the grave. That's the greatest news the world has ever heard.
I'm sure you recognize that voice, one of the greatest evangelists of all times, Billy Graham. I remember as a kid watching his crusades, I would memorize his altar calls, the best I've ever seen. You know, growing up in a small town in Florida, in the panhandle, I never saw people run to the altar to get saved. I've seen them run to the altar for different reasons, but never to get saved. And it so blessed my heart, and he's gone home to be with the Lord, and I'm so thankful for his life and lives of those before him that carried the gospel so that we this day in our nation have the freedom that we have to be able to shout out, God is good and his mercy endures forever. That is not a statement that the body of Christ has always loved or accepted. You used to get persecuted because they looked at God as an angry God, a God that would take vengeance, not a God that was good and loved his people. And so as the revelation, there was our forefathers and our grandmothers that went forth in the ministry that was teaching the goodness of God, and today it's acceptable in the church to say that today's expect something good to happen. That wasn't always the case. And so this morning we're going to continue our series. I'm going to end it. We're talking about root causes, roots in our life. The reason I talk like this, the reason this accent comes out of my mouth, is because there are some root causes for it. It was the area I grew up in, or, you know, if we're talking about roots, the area I was planted in, and some things came to me. You should have heard me. If you think this is thick, you should have heard me the first day I showed up. It was much thicker. I have been mocked and made fun of. People thought it was fake when they first met me. My favorite is one time I was at a restaurant in Baraboo, and I forget, something like Kathy's Kitchen or something like that. Cinderella, I don't know. Somebody with a C or a K or something in their name. It may still be there. And I went to eat there, and everybody ordered, and then I ordered. And the waitress began to swing her arms side to side and kick a little. And she goes something along the lines of, woohoo, I'm from the South too. And I just looked at her and I thought, she better thank God Southerners are nice, or otherwise that could be offensive. And so I continued to order after she was done. And she looked at me and she said, oh my goodness, you really talked like that. And I just looked and said, yes, ma'am, my whole life. And then she just turned around, walked into the kitchen, and probably a couple of seconds after her being in the kitchen, I heard an eruption of laughter back there. The manager came out and said, I'm so sorry for what has happened. Your waitress refuses to come back out. She thought you were joking, but that's your real accent. I'm like, yes, sir, it is. He said, we'll give you a free dessert. I'm like, yes, thank you, I'll take it. I ate a piece of coconut cake, or pie, excuse me, coconut pie, on them. It was delicious. I enjoyed it, and it made up for their atrocities against me. And so there's certain reasons why we act the way we act, the reasons we talk the way we talk, the reason why we think the way we think. There are people that I've seen in families, and sometimes things pop up in generations or in a kid that you wonder where it came from. Like, you know, you're not that way. No one in your family's that way, but all of a sudden a kid comes up with that way. I may not know what the root cause is in that, but then there's times that families are a certain way, and then you see that absolutely in the child. You see families that are quick to forgive, that love on each other, that are quick to say, I forgive you. And then that child tends to be the same way. And I've seen that, but I've also seen where their parents are, what is the word I'm looking for? Difficult, that's a good word. Sarcastic, difficult, like to make little stabs and digs at you. And I've seen where the kids, as teenagers, have the same type of conversation. They communicate the same way. And it's something about a teenager making a stab at an adult that makes me want to go back to 25 years ago. But, you know, I digress. And so it just amazes me, the mouth on some people, but sometimes it runs in families. Oh, it reminds me of a song. I love music. Music is from God. Not everything that's sung is from God, but there's music that's from God. And there's Hank Williams Jr. Why do you do some of the things you do? We won't get into it. Hank had some bad things going on in his life. But what was his answer? It's a family tradition. I'm serious. I know a lot of you are like, Hank who? Hank what? Hank Williams Jr. would sing a song. He did some bad stuff. And why you drink? Why you smoke? Why you do all this stuff? And his answer was, it's a family tradition. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You may be able to look back at a lot of things in your life and point to a family tradition. But this morning, the roots that I want to look at, the root cause, is all of a sudden when you have given your life to Jesus, all of a sudden you have a new root system. You have a new family to point back to. Now, one thing, your earthly family, and you don't have to erase everything in your life. I actually like the way I talk. Doesn't bother me. I like it. I get to meet a lot of new people, and a lot of people want to know something about me. Where does that come from? And a lot of people guess. No one ever guesses. Actually, probably two people in my entire life guessed Florida immediately, Northwest Florida. They're like, that's a Northwest Florida accent. I'm like, you got it right. But very rare does somebody, because most of the time people go, Florida talks like that? And I'm like, yeah, we did before a bunch of people from the north moved down here. We used to talk like this. And so I like the conversations that it brings up. So you don't have to, and I have another thing I like about me. Let's just talk about me for a few moments, right? I wasn't planning on this, but let's just talk about me. Thank you. I'm glad. No, you notice the front row's not clapping. They live with me. You know, there are certain things I like about it. I like that I talk to strangers. I enjoy that. That makes me happy. I like that I laugh at jokes that I think of in my own head and don't say out loud. I like that. That's entertaining to me. I can keep myself entertained without other people around. And I like that about me. I love people. Don't get me wrong. I do need people. I want people in my life. I like hanging out with people. I like having people over to the house. I like watching movies with people. Some of you can't talk during movies. I understand you. And most of the time, I don't like talking in movies either. But sometimes I need to talk during movies. There's times I need to point toward the screen and yell at that lady to stop falling and get up and run. And I'm like, why are you hiding in a room with a bunch of knives? Get up, run, run. And so there are moments that I need to speak to the screen. It makes me feel better. And I know that that irritates you, some of you. And so I get it. We're all different, but there's root causes of why we act the way we do. But when we find something that we don't like, let's say maybe we came from a family that was sharp, that was critical, that was mean, that would say mean things about us. Or how about this, that we're always negative. Can I tell you something? The roots of hope are not negative. God gives us roots of hope on the inside of us to be able to hold on to. The Bible puts it this way. He says that I give you an anchor that goes behind the veils of the most holies of holies. In other words, that's where God existed in the Old Testament, behind the holies of holies. Now he lives on the inside of us. And he says, I give you an anchor that goes into the holies of holies that will hold you, that will sustain you, an anchor of hope. Yes. And if we don't have hope in an area, then we have a lie that is being executed or that is holding on in our life. If there's an area of your life without hope, it's because there is a lie trying to hold itself above the things of God. So I've called this message this morning, Roots of Hope. And if there's any area in our life where we have no hope, then we are under the influence of a lie. Now, I want to describe hope for a moment, because the world has changed the meaning of hope. You know, when from generation to generation, words change. I could give you a very quick example of this. My grandfather, I remember all the time, I wished he would quit using two words, but I'll only give you one of them. Because the meaning changed from when he was a boy. But he would be like, Tim, I'm so gay right now. And my granddaddy stopped that. That's not what it means. He goes, that is exactly what it means. It means to be happy. It means to be joyful. He's like, I am gay right now. And my granddaddy, stop it. And he knew what he was doing. He was messing with me in public. I knew what he was doing. But for him, it meant to be happy. Now the world has changed the meaning of that word to mean something different. I almost want to give you the other one, but now we'll be going too far. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. And so hope, the meaning, the biblical definition of hope means joyful anticipation of something good. It does not mean this is what the world has changed me. I hope that happens, when they really mean I would wish it happens. I wish. A wish does not have to be founded on anything. You can have a wish. I wish that I could get a unicorn. I wish that rainbow would hit in my backyard and a pot of gold would show up and I could have all the Skittles I wanted. That's a wish. It has nothing in reality. Wishes can have some type of reality in them, but wishes can have absolutely no reality to them whatsoever. Hope, true definition of hope, is founded in anticipation. It's founded in God's word. When we have hope in Christ, we know something's happening. I'll give you an example of this. In my kids, when they around Christmas, there's all these presents, and they come down, and we tell them, don't open it, not yet, and they're sitting there, and you can talk to them, you can tell them the story of Christ, you can tell them the birth of Jesus, and they're not listening to you. They'll act like they are, and if you say you listen, yeah, what did I just say? Yeah. Why? Because they have hope on the inside of them that they're about to rip open those presents. They have an understanding, an anticipation that something's coming to pass. And when we have a biblical hope on the inside of us, we have an anticipation that God is about to do something great. And I want to tell you this morning coming here, I believe with every fiber on the inside of me, we're not just going to talk about the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, we're going to experience it this morning. So if you have a sickness on the inside of you, something that's going on in your body, or even something emotionally, a broken heart, today is your day. Today the Lord is going to heal your body. It's one of the ministries of Jesus Christ. He said, I come to heal the brokenhearted. I come to make you whole, nothing missing. I come to get you to a place where you stand and you function as God has created you to be, without fear. with no lack of hope missing on the inside of you. Biblical anticipation of His Word performing everything that it says it will do. My prayer has been, dear God, let nothing on the inside of me hold against Your plan. There's a scripture, it's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, one of those, where Jesus stated, there's nothing in me for Satan to grab onto. And when we have fear in our life, we give something to the enemy to grab onto. When we have jealousy in our life, when we covet, when we have these things in our life, we give the enemy something that he can use, a tool to use on the inside of us that could actually cause us to lose hope. And what did I say? Where there is no hope, there is a lie that is influencing us. Have you found Matthew 28 and verse 1? We're going to start there. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. I love that they use one Mary's full name and then the other one they just call the other Mary. Where is Mary? Is she in children's church or in nursery? Oh, it makes me so sad. I wanted to ask her if she was ever called the other Mary. Okay, and let's continue. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. I love that. Let's stop right there. We need to have more sermons about the angel sitting on the stone. First of all, the angel did not sit on the stone because he was tired. Man, that was a big rock. I think I'll take a break. That is not what happened. There's a point that's trying to be driven across. What was trying to hold Jesus in. First of all, can I just say something? Jesus did not need the angel to remove the stone. Jesus walked through walls. Jesus was in one place and walked into another. After his death, burial, and resurrection, we see him walking and appearing in places. The Bible, see, first of all, we don't even talk about the resurrection of Jesus. I don't hear messages with the full story. The Bible says that Jesus went around for 40 days. 40 days. And another part we don't talk about, when he rose from the grave, when he risen, it was so powerful, it rose other people from the grave. Could you imagine burying someone you loved and then all of a sudden, boom. Be like, we just buried them the same day, you know, right as Jesus was being buried, and now this person's up and walking. Or how about you buried someone you didn't like? Then all of a sudden, Uncle So-and-so shows up at the door. What are you doing here? We just buried you. I don't know. There was this man that rose from the grave. The whole earth shook and we just all got up. That's biblical. I know it wasn't taught in Sunday school or on, you know, TVN, you know, those cartoons we watched or the Veggie Tales. It wasn't in there. But that's what happened. That's what the Bible tells us, that Jesus for 40 days went around preaching the gospel. And that when he rose from the grave, other people rose from the grave at the same time. Just boom. Do you know what a creative a miracle that had to be? What an amazing thing. There were things that had to be recreated. There were things that had to be put in that were taken out. There were things, blood had to be recreated where it's dried up. All of a sudden, tendons had to loosen up. All of a sudden, things, okay. Let's talk about some other things. What? There's some dead people. Other things like dead people. There are things that had to be forced out and recreated. The power of God sat down upon that land and the angel sat down on top of the rock. The reason the stone rolled away was not so that Jesus could get out. The reason the stone was rolled away is so that the onlookers could come in. It wasn't for the benefit of Jesus. It was for the benefit of others. And I would just like to put this out there for your thought process. There are some things that are trying to hold you back, some circumstances that are trying to cut you off. But it is for other people's benefits that you get victory to the situation. See, when you are in the body of Christ, there's no such thing as a blessing from God that doesn't affect other people around you. And it's not just for you. I'm thankful that the Lord is bringing a blessing for you. I'm thankful that there was a bump or a stone or a mountain that was in your way that got removed. But let's just say this. Let's say there's something in your life that you're just willing to deal with. You don't want to believe. You don't want to walk in faith in that situation. It's for the body of Christ that you get victory. It's for the body that you have increase. It's for the body that you walk in the promises of God. Why? Because there's someone else who needs to see the miracle power of God. The stone needs to be moved away, not just so you can walk in blessing, not so you can just be set free. Those are all great things, and I'm glad you get to experience them. But it's there so other people can experience the victory and miracle power of God. A lot of times, the kingdom of God is established. Your victory is established right on top of the barrier that tried to keep you out from it. I heard this story. I loved it. It was about the first guys to go up in space. And they're in the rocket. The astronauts are in the rocket. And they basically just said, you know, you're on this humongous gas-filled tank that's going to be lit up. And he says, right as it starts, everything is shaky. And they said about the fear that gripped their heart because things are falling, everything is shaking, and they don't know what's going to absolutely happen. I mean, could you imagine that, going up in space inside of a rocket, inside of a humongous bomb? And what I love is the Bible says when before the stone rolled away, as the angel came down, everything shaked. But the astronauts become to a place where they begin to recognize right as a lot of shaking was coming on. This was their words. Right as a lot of shaking was coming, it meant we were about to be launched. And I'm going to tell you something. In the world, you may feel a lot of shaking in your life. You may see a lot of things that don't look quite right. But God is about to launch you into your destiny. He's about to launch you into the very place of victory that you've been praying and believing and having hope. Great anticipation. Not, well, Lord, by and by, whatever will be, will be. Lord, this is your plan. We will see it come to pass. And I thank you, God, that you're going to use this as victory in my life. The Bible says God will turn all things around to benefit those, his people, those who believe. Now let's continue to read here. Verse 3, his countenance was like lightning and remnant white as snow. This is the same language where Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. The same word, lightning here, same word, is the same word used here, all of a sudden. In verse 4, for fear of him, the keepers did shake. They were about to be launched. They were about, their whole life was about to change. Could you just imagine? They're there to make sure nothing comes out of that grave. All of a sudden, an earthquake. Stone moves. Angel sits on the rock. What would your reaction be? I'm sure the Roman guards were glad that they wore brown. They say when you go to war, the reason the Romans wore red was so if they bleed, you wouldn't see it. And brown pants for the other reason. So, that is horrible. Verse 5. And the angels, but the guys laid down and pretended to be dead. It's like bear comes, lay down dead. That's what they did. Someone comes, let's just fall down and pretend to die. It said they became as dead men. They did not move. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goes before you in Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. What a day. And just notice, you know, a lot of denominations have tried to oppress women in the name of God. Can I tell you something? Women were the first one to tell the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. It took a lady to run to his disciples to say, Jesus has risen from the grave. Today is the day that God has pronounced from the beginning of time that he has risen. Let's turn to Psalms 103. Psalms 103, and we're going to read in verse 2. Now there, this verse right here is controversial among many denominations. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not what? Oh man, I know that we talk about Greek and Hebrew a lot, but every time I've looked this word up, and I've looked up the word all here, do you know what the definition of all means? All. Every one of them. And forget not every one of his benefits. There's a lot more than one benefit. A lot of people will teach the gospel and tell you the only benefit is to die and go to heaven. How shallow is salvation if that is all we're here for? If all we're here to do is accept him and die and go to heaven, how shallow is our redemption? How shallow is our salvation? Yes, you get to go to heaven. Yes, that's exciting. But I think that should be on the end or a smaller piece of our salvation. I think one of the greatest things that should be talked about in our salvation is that you get to become like Christ. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick. Not saying you're sick, but they shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Yes. These signs shall follow them that believe. You get to become disciples of Jesus Christ. How about if that became our focus? Give your life to Jesus and you'll begin to become like him. You'll begin to do the same works that he did. He even tells us, do the works that I have done, but in greater number. That is what we should focus on. So he has a lot of benefits. Not one. He has a lot of benefits. Have you ever retired and got a benefit package? I haven't done that yet. I look forward to it. There's a lot of benefit packages. And how about this? If you have insurance, there are benefit packages with that insurance. Oh, yeah. And I remember one time I had to have surgery. There was a tooth that they did a root canal on, and it got infected, healed, and got infected at the roots. And they sent me to another doctor, and that doctor told me, he says, this is what it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you about $3,000, above $3,000. And he said, this is what we need to do. This is what's going to happen. And I told him, I said, well, thank you, doc. I appreciate it, but no. And he goes, what do you mean, no? And I'm here like, am I on TV? Am I about to be punked? What is happening? Does he not understand the meaning of no? I'm like, no means I'm not going to do it. And he goes, but you have to have it done. I'm like, I understand that. And I just told him, I said, we have a policy in my family. We really don't go into debt. So if I can't pay you right now, I'm not going into debt unless it's an emergency. He goes, it is an emergency. I'm like, no, it's not. I'm not in pain. And I'm not dying. Are you telling me if I don't take care of this, I'm going to die? Well, no, I'm not telling you that. Then it's not an emergency. So I'm going to save the money up and I'll come back to you. And he goes, well, we're going to charge you for today. I said, I wouldn't expect it any other way. And so I leave, I pay for my bill, and I go. And for some reason, I had to call my health insurance to change something. And so I called my health insurance. That was dealing with my dental insurance. And I called my health insurance, and we're talking. And most of you know, I don't like silence. It makes me uncomfortable. I feel like I have to fill the void. So if we're talking and you go silent, you're going to make me nervous. Stop it. I feel like I have to talk. And so on the phone, the guy says, well, I've got to reboot my computer. It's going to take about 10 to 15 minutes. So if you would like to hold, I'll just keep you on the line. I'm like, yep, we'll hold. And so I can hear him typing in the background. I'm like, so how you doing? He was all good, you know, except for computer problems, blah, 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 blah. He's like, how's your day going? I said, well, I said it was going good, but I went to the dentist and found out I had to have some type of surgery because there was something in there that cost about $3,000. And I told him I had to wait to, I get it because I don't go into debt. He goes, you don't go into debt? I'm like, nope, don't go into debt. And he goes, oh, what was the surgery? I said, I don't even know. I said, I have no idea. I said, I remember. It's a long word. And then he says the word. And I'm like, yes, that's it. He goes, well, it's covered 100% in your benefits. And I'm like, excuse me, what? He says, it's not covered by your dental insurance, but it's a surgery. It involves your health. We will cover it 100%. I said, all right. What do we need to do to set it up? He's like, there's only one place in Madison that'll do it, that we cover. I said, I will go wherever you tell me. Lead me. I will follow. And so he's like, this is the number you're going to call. This is the place. Set it up. It was all in my benefits, and I had no idea. How many people go pay the $3,000 because their dental insurance doesn't cover it, but their health insurance does, and they had no idea. The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. God has a whole lot of benefits. And a lot of times religion will put you in the First Baptist, Second Baptist, Pentecostal, Assemblies of God, Catholic, all this, and they'll focus on certain benefits, and they'll forget other parts of the benefit. And that's why we want to have a relationship with Christ and forget not all his benefits. Let's continue to read verse 3 and 4, and then I want to play one more video here. Psalms 103 and verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Can I tell you something? There's a lot of camps that will split this up and say, it's not really all. I'm going to tell you something. I've looked this up. All means all. Not all of them except for the ones that look really hard. I will heal you of all your headaches, all your cramps, all your sprained ankles, but not paralyzing and diabetes. Those are a little too hard. God said, I will heal you of all your diseases. Deuteronomy 28 says, all sickness and disease is under the curse of the law. All that are mentioned and all that are not mentioned. Then we go to Galatians 3:13, which says, I have redeemed you from the curse of the law. Because Jesus was made a curse for you. I want to tell you something. If God forgives you of all thine iniquities, he also heals you of all your diseases. A lot of denominations will say that first part is true, but that second part is not true. Let's read verse 4. And for fear of him, I went back to Matthew. Who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now, I'm going to play a video, but I want to give you a prep real quick. There's a pastor his name is Dwayne. And he was actually a pastor of a mega church. He was of the Baptist denomination. And most Baptists believe that God redeemed you from all your sin. But they do not, for the majority, I'm not saying all of them, but it's kind of doctrine that he does not heal you of all your diseases. And this pastor, he got sick. He got the flu, diagnosed with the flu. And he went to church that morning. He had several services. He preached the first one. He made it to the second one. And on the third one, he told his crew, he said, "I'm going to need someone else to preach. My voice is leaving me. It's painful. I'm going to have to stop." Well, his voice never came back. And there was great pain in his throat, pressure. He said pressure on his vocal cords all the time. And so as he was going to doctors, he said he went to over 200 doctors. And the diagnosis was, when he got sick, that it killed, it destroyed certain nerves in the vocal cords. And that he was hard to understand. It was always raspy. And he fought to speak. And he stayed as pastor for 1 year, the next whole year of the church. And he decided to step down. What, the church didn't kick him out. The deacons didn't get together and come against him. He actually decided to step down on his own accord. He said, "For me and for the church, it's best that I step down." And so he stepped down. And then he went to another church, not to cause issues or trouble at the church. He didn't want the congregation coming to him when they didn't like something the new pastor did. So he separated 100% from the church, found another church to be a part of, another mega church. And he said one day as he was there, they asked him to do Sunday school step in. It was one of the largest Sunday school groups, and they would record it. And they asked him to teach for that. And he said, "You do not want me up there. First of all, my voice won't hold out. It's so raspy, people won't be able to hear me." And they said, "No, we really want you to do it. Just because you're dealing with what you're dealing with doesn't mean the gift of God is off of your life. We would love for you to teach this class." And so they jacked up the audio really loud so that everyone could hear him.
"So when the psalmist writes, 'And he heals all of my diseases,' let me say to you that I believe God still heals. That hasn't ended. That is not over. Now, you have to be careful on how you do this, because there are folks who carry things to an excess and it becomes a show. And God has never intended that that be what it is. God heals in his sovereign will. I don't know why God does things that he does, but I know that he does. And the only thing he requires of me is to allow him to be God and me to be me and let it be. To say that every single person will always be healed because Jesus died on the cross is a misinterpretation of Scripture. Not true. Won't work. Isaiah 53 doesn't talk about physical healing. I'm sorry. That's just not the context. And to impress that there causes a misinterpretation of Scripture. That's wrong. On the other hand, to say that since we don't have anything after the book of Acts, that miracles ended at the book of Acts and they never happen again is equally as wrong. Because you have put God in a box both ways. And he doesn't want to be in the box. So, the psalmist says, "I'm excited. Bless the Lord, O my soul." One of his benefits is he heals all of my diseases. And then in verse 4 he says, "And he redeems my life from the pit." Now, I like that verse just a whole lot. I have had, and you have had in times past, pit experiences. We've all had times when our life seemed to be in a pit, in a grave. And we didn't have an answer for the pit we find ourselves in. And I don't understand this right now. I'm but overwhelmed at the moment. Yeah. I'm not quite sure what to say or do. I'm sounds funny to say at a loss for words. Thank you, Lord. He redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies my desires with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. The Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is abounding in love. The Lord will not accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. That's mercy. Or repay us according to our iniquities. That's mercy. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us.
Pastor Dwayne, 2 years of not being able to talk. Every doctor said the nerve endings were destroyed beyond repair, that this was the rest of his life. Now, one thing I loved was that he knew God was still in the miracle business, but it was a wish for him, not a hope of anticipation of God doing something. But this is what I love. All he did was read the word. All he did was put his voice to scripture, even though he was trying to disprove those who make a show of it openly. He said, God never intended for it to be a show. But God tells us that when he brought us into victory, when he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, it was an open show. It was a show for all of mankind. It was a show for every angel. It was a show for God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. It was a show for every enemy, evil, demon, whatever they are, imps on this world. God made a show of them openly. And I'm going to tell you something. When you put the word on the inside of you and you begin to speak the word, you put a demand on the promises that are in him, yes, and in him, amen. The Bible doesn't say they're in him, yes, and in him, maybe. They are in him, yes, and they're in him, amen. When he says, I heal thee of all thy sicknesses, all thy disease, all thy transgressions, he meant it to be all, not some. So this morning, right now, right where you are, if you have anything that you want prayer for.